On January 19th, Sam welcomed a special guest to the studio. His dad, Sam Mulvey Sr. What follows is a unique episode of Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. With Sam Mulvey. Thanks to Dave for participating in the discussion, too. We hope you enjoy.
One of the things we talked about while you were in town this week was my influences in talk radio, which were largely influenced by you listening to LUP, AM 1000,
yeah,
back in the day, and
right.
Steve Dahl,
Gary Meyer.
Yeah. So how would you clarify like how Chicago talk was different from other types of talk?
Well, now at the time I didn't know anything about the rest of the country, but. Mm. Steve Dahl was my introduction to talk radio, period.
Yeah.
And who was it? Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
Described Steve Dahl's show as two guys getting ready to do a radio show.
Yeah. It's really low key.
Yeah.
They never stayed on topic. Whenever if something was said that just strike their fancy, they didn't care about what they were talking. There could have been an interview going on, and if Steve said something asinine that Gary would call on, like Gary would call on him, and like the interview would just sort of be jettisoned. and then seeing like what became of talk radio, like Man Cow and Howard Stern and
right,
all that
right.
stuff. I'm like,
and this wasn't. A zoo. It was just inexplicably fascinating.
Show
about nothing.
It was a show about nothing. Actually, that's a good way of putting it.
And for us locally, like for years, I think I mentioned in the pre-show, Bob Rivers, they did a lot of parodies, but they weren't quite morning zoo shock jock. They had a little more content, a little more depth, a little more intelligence mm-hmm. than that. And I really enjoyed them. I think they've kind of moved off the air. I know Bob Rivers himself is retired. And now there's like the Man Show or something like that.
The Men's Room. And the only reason I know that is because they make a beer.
They make a beer and a good beer, which I'm embarrassed to buy it because I don't want to support them. But, oh, it's a good red.
It's a very good red. Yeah.
So, but,
it's a beer called the Men's Room?
Yeah,
yes.
It's Men's Room Red.
It turned
me off, too. Yeah.
And so, Sam has always talked about like if you ever actually started doing shock jock type stuff like morning zoo stuff, the first thing you would need is the sound of a toilet flushing.
Yeah.
And that's the Men's Room exactly. Like that's their sense of humor and they're awful and I can't stand them.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about going into like we've been doing Ask an Atheist for 10 years. I'm moving into a new era with KTQA and having my own radio station. And so I'm thinking, like, what else can I do? And so a technology show we've been talking about. But I've always wanted to do morning or afternoon talk. That's always been, like, my dad is one of the few people who knows how much attention I pay attention. Like, how much I've always been a big fan of, like, late night talk and all that stuff. And so the opportunity to do that kind of thing, I think I'd be good at it. Now, right. Where before, I thought I probably would have been terrible back in the day, but
right.
I think I've finally got my craft to a point now where I can be interesting talking about nothing.
Right.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been practicing that on Ask an Atheist.
You're saying the iron is hot.
The iron is hot. Mm. And when that happens, I'm going to start the show with a toilet flush. Because I promised Mike Gillis. Mike Gillis.
I can't see any way out of it.
Yeah. Mike Gillis is a friend of yours.
Well, he thought he was.
He thought he was.
And
yeah.
then he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way back in the day, the very early days of the show, a little bit of drama behind the scenes between me and Mike, in that Mike would have a conversation with me on Facebook, and then we'd go to the show, and he'd continue the conversation as if, like you do, right?
Right.
And every time, I would have no idea what he was talking about. None. And I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes I'd be like, because I'm a forgetful guy, and you've done this. Where says, do you remember you talking about this?
Yeah. No, but it sounds like me.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. No. But I'm going to play along because I don't want to be a jerk.
Mm.
And I don't want to be a D word. And, And he's like, you don't understand. We had a long conversation about this, and this went on for a year until I finally, like, Mike Gillis, friends, Sam Mulvey, he friended my dad. What did you guys talk about?
I don't even remember. Facebook was new. All I remember is this fellow on the internet is very friendly, and
this guy Mike came out of nowhere, but I really like him. Yeah. Like,
and I'm thinking to myself, how the heck did this guy mistake me for my father? And then I looked at my profile and my dad's profile. My dad's profile at the time had a picture of Bela Lugosi. And my profile at the very same time, no coordination, no nothing whatsoever, had a picture of Tor Johnson.
I was going to say Tor Johnson. Yeah. It had to be Tor Johnson.
Yeah. And,
but both apropos of nothing at
apropos
the time.
Apropos, yeah, no, we didn't coordinate. I just needed a picture. And this is 2009, and like the year I joined Facebook as well. Because I only joined Facebook because the Mulveys and Mass got mad at me because y'all figured I'd be on Facebook and then you found out I wasn't.
Yeah, you were peer pressured into it.
Yeah, I was. But the reason I had Tor Johnson on my face, it's another thing from my dad, is I remember, and I want to see if you remember this, so waking me up at like 2:30 in the morning on a school night when we lived on Zeppelin Drive, and you're like, Sam, I'm like, what, there's a movie you have to see. Right now. It's on right now. And I'm like, are you kidding? What? Huh? And I'm figuring it's going to be like Citizen Kane or some great film or something like that. And we walk into the living room, you put it on, and it's Glenn or Glenda.
Now, I'm sure you're mistaking this note. Not that, you know.
Yeah,
Glenn or Glenda isn't a fine film, but
it was
no good parent would wake a child up in the middle of a school.
your movie watching effects on my life have been well documented on this show. So it'd take you a lot more to back out of that one than just denying it.
All right,
can I say I actually managed to get an Ed Wood film into a speech project at school, in high school.
Really?
I was doing a thing on Hollywood, and I wanted to show like the difference in special effects from then to now, and now was 1993. And so for then, I had Bride of the Monster when he gets attacked by the octopus creature that they stole from another set, and it's just him moving the tentacles himself, a couple hanging in front by string.
Yeah. The single greatest acting scene.
Right. And then compared that to 1993, it was Terminator 2. It was the scene where the Terminator came up from the checkered floor and formed himself into the security guard. And I had to cut it off before he stuck his finger through the other guy's eye, because that wasn't classroom appropriate. But like, this is how far we've come from to like, this was actually really cool.
Oh, you got me up late at night on a weekday to watch Glenn or Glenda, a movie about a transvestite in the 1950s, and I'm like, this supposed to be indicative of a thing? And then
because it was pretty great.
It's just a great film, and it changed my life. We did we discovered Mystery Science Theater not long after that, and it just changed my life.
I do remember waking you up in the middle of the night to watch The Creeping Terror.
Yeah.
The Creeping Terror was a Roger Corman sci-fi monster movie. And the Creeping Terror itself seemed to be two guys covered in old carpet. and the funny thing about it was, in order to be attacked and eaten by the Creeping Terror required a lot of self-participation. The Creeping Terror was creeping.
Yeah. So, it did a lot of creeping.
Yeah, so in order for him to eat you, you kind of had to sacrifice yourself. And I remember waking you up to see that.
Yeah, that was another one, yeah.
There was one of my favorite moments like that is classic Star Trek episode, the Zorn. The
or Zorn or Gorn?
Gorn. That's right. Gorn.
Zorn's a saxophone player.
Zorn is a space businessman in the Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
No, that's Zorg.
That's Zorg.
Okay. Anyway, the Gorn.
The Gorn.
That episode, which the Gorn is so clearly a styrofoam helmet that doesn't move and a guy trying to see through going, like, it was bad enough.
And the fight choreography master, William Shatner.
Yes. Who does a double-fisted thing that I've never understood. Like, even as a kid, I'm like, that's not effective. That would just...
Hey,
like,
the guy who played Worf made it.
I know what you're talking about. Well, it has to be twice as hard, right?
Right? But my favorite part of that episode is early on, before the Gorn comes out, they land on this planet, and there's a settlement that's been attacked, and... they're trying to figure out what happens when suddenly bombs start going off. And so they go for cover and they dive into this crater. And you see them looking around, trying to figure out where this is coming from. And there's a shadow of what's very clearly a sound guy walking right across their path while they look around, pretending that nobody's there. And I'm like... you couldn't do one more take? This is not exactly a high, you know, special effects shot. These are guys in a crater looking around.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great acting, because you really believe that Shatner didn't see the film.
Right. True. Yeah.
So my dad is from the Chicago area.
Right.
And you were recently in Chicago.
I was. I spent a weekend there about a month ago for another podcast. Cognitive Dissonance did their 500th episode.
Yeah.
And they threw a pizza party, and it was a raffle to get to go. And so we won, and actually... or in a place where it's like, hey, I can fly to Chicago for a weekend for a podcast pizza party.
Yeah.
How cool is that? So
I forget they're in Chicago.
Yeah.
I keep thinking they're like in St. Louis or something.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they're in Chicago. Yeah.
And they even had the Puzzle and the Thunderstorm guys with them, because they do Citation Needed. They do as a co-show. So it was pretty cool. Got to meet all of them. Had a good time.
What did you think of Chicago?
Chicago was... so it was interesting. One thing that... really stood out to me, because we did a lot of the touristy stuff. We did the aquarium. We actually took the subway. The original plan was to like rent a car, but I'm just like, I didn't rent one, which I'm glad, having seen how people drive in the city of Chicago. My God, how does anyone survive that time?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. We took an Uber to this pizza party, and I've spent the entire time white knuckled, holding onto the door handle like, I'm going to die. But, so we ended up taking the subway everywhere, which was an interesting experience, because I've never been... the closest to a subway I've been on is BART in the Bay Area, and that's not really...
So were you on the actual... did you make it to the L, or were you just on the subway bits of the...
we were on the underground bits. We never did any of the elevated trains.
Okay.
But we did, like, our hotel, we had to get off at the Loop and then change trains there and head a little bit north, and that's where our hotel was, kind of nearer Willis Tower. Sorry, Sears Tower. I hear Chicago people get real mad when you call it what its actual name is.
Yes.
Yes. Many of us don't care.
It's been Willis Tower for 30 years now?
Yeah, 30 years, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Since sometime in the 90s, yeah.
Here's the most important question, though.
Okay.
What was the pizza place?
Pequod's.
Really? Pequod's? I mean, it's good pizza, but it's not what I would...
No. Next time you tell the story of Gino's.
Everyone mentions Gino's.
Yeah. Lou Malnati's. Lou Malnati's.
Everybody knows that one. Yeah. But the pizza places you really want to go to, nobody knows the name of. For years, we would always order pizza from the same place, and I never knew what its name was. Except for Zippy's. I remember Zippy's.
Jake's.
It was Jake's?
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's the one that really stood out to me. I went to the Bean.
Oh. Now,
two things about this. One, I will always call it the Bean because I have read about the artist who created Cloudgate.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a tool bag of all tool bags, and he hates it when you call it the Bean, so I will always call it the Bean.
Does anybody not call it the Bean?
Nobody I know about.
Yeah.
I've never been there myself, but...
in general, I tend to be like, hey, if the artist wants it this way, then whatever local nickname doesn't matter, I will call it what the artist prefers. But this art... he is a D word of all D words.
Okay.
And so, no, I will call it the Bean just because of him.
And he is. And the giveaway was Cloudgate.
But here's the thing. Having actually been there, I've seen pictures of it and everything. And it's just like, okay, so it's a big shiny bean looking thing. When you're actually there, you kind of get it. It's like, no, this is actually good art. This is a thing. Like, the reflection of the skyline in front of you and behind you and the way it all bends and everything. Like, you're standing in front of this thing. It's like, wow, this is actually an experience just to stand here and look at this thing.
Have you seen it?
Becky insisted that we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that I have two votes for yes, so I'm going to have to take a look as soon as I get home.
Yeah. And I agree. Like, I don't go to things and go ask myself, this is art. Part is I don't feel qualified to answer that question. But also part is I don't really feel like I have to. You know what I mean? But I certainly thought it was a thing. Like, yeah. It was pleasing. It was interesting. It was it was
a cool thing.
Yeah. And
I've seen a lot of things in various cities, like the Fremont Troll up in Seattle, where it's like a cool little, it's a giant troll sculpture made out of the dirt under an overpass, and it's like holding an actual Volkswagen Bug, and you get there and you're like, yeah, that's a statue of a troll. Like,
yep.
It's, I don't understand why this is such a big deal. Like, it's kind of cool. Like, if you just stumbled on it, it'd be like, hey, look at that. But the bean was actually something that's like, no, okay, I see why people come here. This is worth spending a moment of.
Okay, so the troll and the Volkswagen, that's for next trip? Is that what you're
talking about? Yeah. Okay. I decided that was going to be way out of our way. So conversely,
fair enough.
You don't travel.
I do not.
I've lived away from Chicago for 21 years now.
Most of your life.
Yeah. And this is your first trip out. And I was really excited, and I'm kind of glad that your first trip is to here and not to where I used to live. Cause, what do you think of this region? How are you?
Tacoma's gorgeous. It's like, we talked about this. It's kind of like Elgin, which is a smaller city adjacent to Chicago. It's a lot like Chicago, but cleaner.
Yeah.
and Chicago's known as one of the cleaner cities, but this is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we took him to Pike's, and nice. we got a nice candid shot of him leaning on the pig.
Yes.
And he didn't know he wanted to go to Pike's.
Right.
What he told me is he wanted to have a fish thrown at him.
Ah.
And I'm like by a professional, or do I just need to like get a fish?
Well, I was hoping to have a fish thrown at your brother.
Oh,
I didn't know what it would cost, and I wanted it to be, you know, a surprise.
Okay, hard to set up at Pike's.
It was tough to set up. It was. So.
Will you peg that guy in the back of the head? Yeah. $50, yeah. I swear.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have $50.
but we mostly hung around in Tacoma on. The early part on Saturday, mm-hmm. or no, on Friday, and then on Saturday we went to Seattle. And Friday we took him to Tinkertopia.
All right,
I wanted to show him like the water and the marina and all that stuff because he's been fascinated by that. Because I don't know if you know, but Chicago is kind of inland.
there's water there.
There's water.
We've got the lake.
We got the lake, but it's not, you know, it's not the same. All the shipping goes on Lake Erie.
My favorite was the Lionel Hampton Pavilion, where they were. Xylophones.
Oh, the xylophones.
For some
reason.
I don't know what it was.
Lionel Hutz Pavilion?
I don't know.
No, that was.
But we took him across the Bridge of Glass, and he liked that. And there was a guy doing. What song was he playing?
What was the Bridge of Glass?
It was the one with all the bongs.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a guy doing.
You'd understand.
There was a guy playing a Dylan song and doing a reasonable job of it.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we're walking down to the marina, and I run into a gaggle of teenagers.
Oh, I heard the story.
This was a new career for Sam, and so I'm hearing about. Well, I've started doing this now. You know, I'm a teacher, which is, you know, kind of out of the blue, and I said, oh, okay, I don't know what exactly it is, but it sounds great, and So then a little later, we're walking through the city of Tacoma, which is not a small place. And we happen on a large group of students. And, oh, it's Mr. Mulvey. I forget what they said.
They called me exactly. Mr. Sam.
Mr. Sam, yeah. And I said, maybe he's a very successful teacher.
And we run into Carol.
Okay, yeah. That's my wife you met.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which is very nice.
Yeah.
And that was like, I didn't pay those people enough.
Yeah.
No.
It really one of those.
Carol, I need your kids to make me look good in front of my dad. Yeah. We can do that. I don't know how long you're going to be in town, but I think like for all the different like art stuff, like, you're a musician, right? Like, that's sorry, Cor.
A legend.
Gotta go to Alma Mater. If you can catch a show there before he goes, because it's such an amazing place to see a show. Like,
that's a good point.
Small and like intimate, but it's got such great sound. It's just like, it's a new place. It's only been open for like 2-3 years, but it's really worth seeing a show at.
It's a bar or a concert hall?
Concert hall with like a bar and coffee shop attached to
it's
it.
It's a multi-use event space.
Oh, yes. Nice. This works for me.
Yeah. We didn't make it to Mopop this time, so I'll do that next time, but I think we're going to go to LeMay.
Okay.
And go to the car museum.
That's fun.
Yeah, because we're both kind of into cars. Yeah.
My favorite experience going through LeMay, which was a while ago, I don't know if they've changed up what cars they have, but you work your way down level by level by level, and it's primarily American cars, and so you see lots of like stuff from the 1910s, and you see great 50s like hot rods and stuff like that, and then the newest car I saw there was a 1982 Mercury wagon with the fake wood paneling. It looked like somebody just parked their junker station wagon in the middle of all these very nice cars.
That's weird. I've only been to the museum once, and it was during the Tuner Culture exhibit. So the very first car I saw was a 91 Honda Civic.
Nice. I missed that. I would have loved to go.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, I get it. There's a lot of carbon fiber in it. A lot of stuff has been done to it.
But it's a Civic.
It's still, I had this car. Like, this is not.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I guess it's a classic now just because math.
Right.
But it's not. It's, but then you go downstairs and you get the room full of like the 38s and the Packards and all that, and it gets really good.
And they have a
large, old, ugly. Those
large, old, you will get a face full of that at the museum.
I did enjoy the hallway of Ferraris.
Yeah. They had one formula car, and it's the first time I'd ever seen a formula car up close. I didn't realize they were that small.
Oh, they are tiny,
they're tiny,
right?
Yeah, jeez.
That's why all the drivers are 5'1".
Yeah, makes sense. So I suppose we should talk about the show while we're doing this.
Since we're having one?
Yeah, since we're having one. What's been your, like, what's it like having me be a big, because we've never been, we weren't a lot of people in the atheism movement are converts. They used to be very religious. They were in some sort of evangelical thing, and they converted, and they want to tell people about it and stuff like that. So,
and I've kind of always sensed that, and so your interest was actually pretty surprising, because you know your family as a rule has been pretty apathetic about the entire subject.
Yeah.
So
it was a mix of a bunch of things. It was partly it was helping my friends get out of some weird religions. Like, there's a reason why I know so much about Scientology.
Oh, okay. So some deprogramming going on.
Yeah. And also because of specifically in 2006, I watched CNN like obsessively, like you do. And there was an interview about atheists being the most hated minority in America.
Okay.
And I'm like, I have a lot of issues with that sentence.
Yeah.
First, minority, really?
Yeah.
I don't really, that doesn't really feel like an accurate description of what we are.
Yeah.
And
silent majority.
Hated? Really? And then they had a panel discussion of like six people, none of whom were atheists. They were all pastors and heads of religious groups and stuff like that.
Right.
And they were all saying how terrible atheists were. And
was this the one that had Stephen A. Smith as one of their experts?
I think so, yeah.
And he was like the one guy who's like, without any chance, like, he would not say anything without a million qualifications, like, well, I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus, but atheists might actually be Americans and worth protection under the Constitution. Everyone's like, what's wrong with you? You're terrible. You're
yeah.
like, Stephen A. Smith is the guy who's defending us.
Yeah.
That's what we get.
That's our best. That's yeah. our, yeah, that's what we get.
I remember that interview.
and it was such a, like, it was such a mind changer, that I decided I wasn't going to be quiet about being an atheist anymore. I wasn't going to I've never been evangelical. And that's the thing that a lot of, I think, the family never understood really that well about the show, was that it wasn't to make people into atheists. It was to say that we exist and we're just kind of normal people, and we talk about things and we have opinions on things. It was more about just getting the voices out there than about making people and thinking that we're right.
Right.
And so there was a little bit of misgivings among the Mulveys in the early days. And
sure.
You can back me up on this if this was just in my head or not. Like, people thought I was thinking, like, you should be an atheist. And I'm like, no, that's not what it is. That's not what I'm about.
Well, all we had was, Madeline Murray O'Hare. So it was,
yeah.
Atheists are, well, number one, they're mean.
Yeah.
So that's all we had.
I have not often spoken about Madeline Murray O'Hare
yeah.
on my show. Mainly because I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
That story is yeah. was kind of conclusively ended.
Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Yeah. That was. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't good. I don't want to talk about it. And that organization, between you and me, hasn't done too much better since.
No.
Nope. And.
But that was our only. You know, that was.
That and that was my only interface to it
yeah.
too. Was her on Geraldo or whatever.
Right.
And but then to find out that, and then I became very, you know, people tried to get me to do religious things, and I kind of played around with it when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And then I this is all crap, you know. I like, it wasn't like a a moment where I said, oh, I'm gonna be violently against it. It's like, it never took with me. It never
right.
invaded. Like, a lot of people, like, they like religious, they go through their day, and religious ideas always intrude upon their thoughts, and so it's easy for them to be religious, where I didn't have that with you guys, mm-hmm. with you and Mom. And so, like, every time I said, well, you have to do this during a day, you have to start your day with a prayer, and it's not like I was, like, being, like, rebellious and not doing it.
Right.
I would just forget, and I would go for 6 months and not do anything religious, and I go, I don't think there's a here, and it's
yeah.
yeah. I just sort of rejected it.
Well, you're on your mom's side, that was all about well, you know, Corey will get a new dress now because it's blah blah blah, and then we'll go to this thing. And
that was the question I had, because it's mm-hmm. something I've referred to a few times on the show, which is, Mom was Lutheran,
yeah,
and Mom was pretty loud about it. Occasionally, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. in fits and starts,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, she could talk a good game.
Yeah, she could, and she made me go to vacation Bible school a few times.
Yes.
Was there I always got the sense that there was an explicit agreement about how religion would be interfaced in at home.
There was none.
There was none.
There was none. I didn't, well, we all you guys love the stories about the Baptists.
And it's kind of working towards it, yeah.
And
these are the people who kidnapped me across state lines.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And I don't have probably the same timeline memory as you, but
it left a lasting impression on my brain.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I didn't worry, but they used to show up. I was a maintenance man in an apartment complex, and the Baptists would show up and looking for all the kids that were running around, and it was my job to chase them off the complex. And
it's terrifying.
And it got, well, it actually got kind of funny, because you could yell at them from across the but then they took them all on a field trip without bothering to ask anybody,
to like Iowa or something.
Yeah,
yeah. And so I had to call, like, had you call your mom or your dad? You call your parents? No, I just got on a bus.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm here. And are you saved? Like, I don't know what that means. And we listened to a guy who was a World War II pilot talk, And then he would talk about being a World War II pilot, and then the Jesus stuff would come in. I'm like, oh, I've heard this before. I can, yeah, whatever. And I was like, and I just wanted to ask him questions about the planes.
Yeah.
And then we made paper airplanes. We did like camp kind of things, and then the hard sell.
Right.
You know, but you have to bet there. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. I'm like, okay.
And then they brought him home. And today this would be on the news, and it would be everything. But at the time it was, all right, well, from now on, you Baptists stay out of here and leave the kids alone.
They didn't do anything to me. Like I was inappropriately transported or across state lines, but right. That was the beginning and the end of it. If they had just done the same thing a block away, it wouldn't have been a problem. Where nowadays, if they transported me across state lines, I'd
the FBI would be involved.
The FBI would be involved, and I'd probably be,
Right, right.
Bad things, I'm saying. Yeah.
But maybe most important, certainly from that, what you got was you got your mom's take on being a Lutheran, and you got my general distaste for organized religion.
Well, that was, I didn't really get your distaste for organized religion all the way around. It's hard to explain, just because you were always so silent on the issue, as you didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And you let mom do all the talking. And then she would like lean to you to like get you to like back her up or something. And you'd, no, I'm not going to do it. And that dichotomy alone was a bit of an education for me. And like an education I don't think other people got, was that you could have among two people.
Yeah.
Well, one, you could not do what mom says. That could actually be okay. And two, that two people could be in a relationship and have these sorts of differences, like, oh, okay, that's new. And then that was my introduction to the whole concept of
right.
believing versus not believing, and which is very different from what a lot of people in the atheism community, where they're just expected to believe.
Right.
And so you got me who almost for more social reasons became a part of the atheism movement. Part of it, but I'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother, who's been on the show a couple times, but mainly just to make me feel better, not for any apparent reason. And my sister, who occasionally is religious, I've never really certain, but all three of us kind of have a just kind of whatever.
Yeah, right. Your sister might go there when she really needs to.
Yeah,
but it's the last bastion.
She told me that it's a good social support, and that's something that the atheism community mm-hmm. just absolutely fails to provide. And I talk about that as we're not good at social support.
Right.
I mean, I try to be good at social support among my peers, but our movement as a whole doesn't have that inbuilt thing.
I'm not good at social support.
No.
Like, I'm just not, like, every once in a while, like, somebody asks me, like, hey, I really need you for this thing. I'm like, I'm not sure I'm the person you want. I can't do that. I'm sorry.
And that's fine.
And it's just, I feel bad about it, but it's just like, that's not...
Yeah,
I'm not good at that stuff. I don't ask other people for it usually, and so I'm just mm-hmm. yeah. And yeah. so I was like, I feel like I'm representative somewhat of the atheist community, and that we're all a bunch of people who are like not good at this. Mm-hmm. And if we were good at this, we probably mm-hmm. would have leaned more into religion, because that's where people are good at this usually end up, whether
right.
or not the belief system is there. Like, a church is really good for that. So if you're looking for that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I've never begrudged them that.
You know,
if you can get something out of it.
And then in 2008, I moved up here, and I didn't have a lot of support. Like, I didn't have a friend group up here, mm-hmm. and it was kind of a bad time. And some of my friends, Ron John, among them, said, you should get involved with the local atheist movement, because you've been talking about it a lot lately.
Yeah.
And everything kind of came from that, from then on. That's how I know pretty much everybody here. That's how I met them. That's how I met Luke. And that's how I got a radio station. That's how I became a teacher. It all kind of stems uh-huh. Stems from that.
I'm not sure I ever knew the timeline.
Yeah. So I used to get, Sam Mulvey, do you know the musician Sam Mulvey? It's like, yeah, that's my dad. Has that happened to you yet? Or do you know the radio go for the radio guy?
Oh, it's like on the internet, and that you can't find me for for five pages of Google. Well, six or seven pages of Google. And
rather so, there's articles about you, Sam, in Vietnamese.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah.
And I claim that you're the most prominent atheist in the Pacific Northwest, which regardless of you can argue that or not, but I think it's a cool title. Well, regardless, so
I'd argue it stridently, but I'm trying to. I'm also trying to impress my dad, so that's, I don't know.
that's how I refer to you anyway.
Yeah, okay. So.
Rebecca.
Becca or Ron Reagan?
Ron Reagan, yeah, he's from the area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's between those two, lately. Like. Yeah.
Becca and I are you know, we're friends. We hang out.
Becca who? I'm sorry.
Rebecca Witzman.
Oh, okay.
She
can't be the most prominent because I've never.
She went viral, what was that, about 8 years ago?
Yeah.
There was that giant tornado in Moore, Oklahoma, just wiped out the town.
Yeah.
She lost her house in that, and the only reason she wasn't killed in that was because, despite the fact that the news told her, like, get in the bathtub and put a mattress over you, she just got freaked out, took her kid, and just drove off. And when she came back, her neighborhood was gone. And when she finally found her house, it's like, there's nothing there. I would not have lived through this.
Uh-huh.
And so, in the aftermath, when people are going to the town to help, you know, rebuild and support people there and everything, Wolf Blitzer from CNN was interviewing people. And it was the weirdest thing. I've never really understood why he went there with her.
Yeah.
But he's interviewing her, and she's sitting there smiling. She's got her kid with her, and she's like, you know, hopeful. And it's like, you know, this has been scary, but, you know, we can rebuild and everything. And he says, well, did you thank the Lord for surviving? And she kind of gives him a look. He's like, well, did you? Did you thank the Lord? Did you thank the Lord? And
really?
And she's just looking at him. She's like, real sheepishly, actually, I'm an atheist. And
that went real viral.
That went real viral.
No kidding.
And it was just a, you know, it was not like an attacking. It was not a Madeline Murray O'Hare type, like, what's wrong with you? It was a very friendly, it's like, appreciate the sentiment, but no, that's not my
belief.
Yeah,
she said it and she just moved on with the interview.
Yeah, no big deal. And that turned her into this viral sensation.
And she had her toddler with her.
Yeah,
who's now 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely loves Becky Dunn. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pals.
Little surprise the wolf in all this.
Yeah. We don't know why he was doing, like, that seems so out of character for a journalist in the middle of an interview to start. Like,
and she was the same way. It's like, he was really nice to us and he did all these really great things for us. And then there was this, and he just did this. And I'm like, oh, actually, I'm an atheist. And he just moved on and it was okay. And I didn't have internet. And like 2 minutes later, it's all over the internet.
And right.
Like,
yeah. And
one of the producers actually said, you are going to go viral at the end of that interview.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah.
The reason that Becca's so amazing, she took the notoriety and the sort of public attention brought to her and sort of morphed that into the secular humanist response.
Foundation Beyond, humanist response teams or something like that.
Yeah. It was a subdivision. I think there was Freedom From.
It was part of Foundation Beyond Belief.
Foundation Beyond
an organization
Belief.
That I also worked for.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So.
And what they started was, like, she said that in her experience, there was a lot of people who would come to help rebuild, help move stuff and everything, but there were always religious groups. And she got straight out attacked by some people like this. She said there were these two Catholic women who were just like, assaulting her for, like, how dare you raise your child an atheist? What's wrong with you? Are you, you know, do you want him to go to hell? Are you a terrible parent? Blah, blah, blah. And she's sitting here, her entire life has fallen apart.
Yeah.
And she's like, doesn't have the mental space to tell these women, you are not here for this. My life is destroyed. You're not helping go away. She just sat there and took it and cried. And so, having learned a lot from that experience, she's like, I want to put together humanist groups who can go out there, help rebuild. We're not there to preach. We're not there to talk people out of their religion. We're there to help. We're there to, like, rebuild if you need rebuild. Feed people if you need fed. Do whatever work needs to be done, because there's not enough, like, lots of churches will do this, but there aren't a lot of secular groups that will do this. And so she's like, I want to do that. And she made it happen, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I think, the most important contribution from your generation of all this is just that to show that you can be good natured about it. I mean, that you're not angry.
That's been a big part of a big part of it for me. But allowing myself to get angry at things that one should get angry about, but noticing that I'm not dominated by that might, you know, I once a week I get up here and I talk about religious stuff and atheist stuff, but for the rest of the week, the fact that I talk about old video games, the fact that I talk about this stack of oscilloscopes I have all over here, like that's all, for me, that was a part of the...
The fact that we have those giant lists of laptop names.
Yeah, the giant list of laptop names. The fact that he and I talk sports for 10 minutes every time he's on, that's all part of the deal, is to show just how wide the atheism community is.
Before that, all we heard about was lawsuits against the local courthouse because they had this or that hanging up in the hallway.
Which I support a lot of those.
Sure.
But
that's not all there is.
It's not all there is. Anything else you want to add? Because I think we're kind of, we should wrap up shortly.
Okay. This is my first time on the show, and it's been terrific. And I'm intensely proud of you. And and I love you.
Okay.
And
that's a thing that you said.
Thanks.
Sam, your skin color doesn't come across over the air, just so you know.
And thanks for thanks for having me a guest in your home. I'm having a great vacation.
I've always wanted to we're a family of entertainers. We are. Yep. You know, Mike's a musician, Corey's a musician when she wants to be. Uncle Mark's a comedian.
Yep.
You know, Carol's an artist, and I always kind of felt like I was a little on the outside in that. I kind of dabbled in performance, but I was always kind of on the outside of it. But
you've never been on the outside.
No,
but okay.
No, I mean, like, I didn't have that part.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And then this just, and I finally got, and this is always what I've wanted to do, always, and see, I'm doing it. I'm pressing buttons. I'm saying funny things. That's what I wanted to show you. So thanks for coming out and taking a look.
Okay, kiddo.
You've been listening to Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. Today, you heard Sam, his father Sam, and Dave. Music is by Chris Coleman and Phil Whitfield. Find us online at atheist.radio, where you can listen to all past episodes. On Facebook and Twitter at Ask an Atheist WA. Email the team at questions@atheist.radio. Or call and leave a voicemail at 844-SKEPTIC. That's toll-free at 844-753-7842.